You're listening to a Get Serial podcast. How are you this morning? I'm going to just throw that out. How are you? It's been a bit of a long weekend, for better or worse. And we have some very, very exciting content to keep you maybe in a bit more of a welcome back to Monday, if you're going back today, or enjoy that last day of your public holiday service. It's going to be a good one. Annabelle, how do we feel like it's going to be outside? Cold, warm? I feel like it's going to be a bit more of a chilly one.
You know what? It's starting off chilly. I'm thinking we're going to get a bit of sun. I'm hoping for sun. I'm manifesting sun. It's starting off chilly, but I'm thinking beach weather later. That's my delusion.
Beach weather would be nice. My name is Bianca. Welcome to Get Serial. And as always, I am joined by Annabelle, who you just heard before.
Good morning.
And we have a very exciting show coming up for you. We're going to talk all sorts of stuff. Of course, if you want to check today, well, that date is April Fool's, April 1st. Bit of a fun little day. Annabelle, you've prepared some conversations for us.
I have. I'm excited. We're going to go into April Fool's all of today. I will say I've already been tricked by an April Fool's at, what time is it? 8:05 in the morning? You know, so I'm not my freshest today, but it's going to be fun. We're going to dive into it, dive into the history, and we're even going to have a guest on the show, and that isn't a fool. That's true. It's going to be a lovely interview later on in the show, so definitely stick around.
Definitely.
Bianca, where can people find us if they want to keep up with what we're doing online?
Yes, if you want to keep up today with anything we're doing online, you can check us out on Get Serial Sin on Instagram. That's where we post updates, we post our weekly playlist, and we post information about any interviews you may have missed. I would check it out. We've got heaps of great content coming. We have some amazing stuff coming. I still have to edit and put together, and they will go up soon. The videos and little vox pops I had with some cosplayers from the Game Expo 2024. So keep an eye out for that. And we've got more coming, so keep up to date there. If you've missed any previous episodes, or maybe you want to hear an interview we did once upon a time, you can do that at Get Serial Sin on Omni, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else where good podcasts can be found. Check them out. Let us know what your favorite is. But, of course, if you want to maybe keep up to date with any video content that we might be doing, check out the TikTok, Get Serial Sin. We'll post there eventually and from time to time. It's not our main platform. TikTok is hard.
TikTok is hard. It's scary.
It really is. But check that out. And as I said, make sure you're following us because Season 2 of Sin's broadcast is coming up, and I can just give you a little hint. There might be some big things in the works for Season 2.
Ooh.
We may not be the only voices on air. You'll have to keep update to keep an eye on that, though. But sometimes we are aware things do get difficult, and if you or someone you know needs help, we do have some helplines available for you. Annabelle, do you have those ones at the ready?
I do. So we've got Beyond Blue you can reach at 1300 224 636. The Kids Helpline is at 1800 55 1800. And the QLife Helpline is available at 1800 184 527. So I say this every week, but those are incredible resources. There's never any shame in reaching out. Be kind to yourself and be kind to others.
Definitely. Don't wait around. Don't be a fool about it. Here is Fool by Adrian Lenker. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin. You just heard three incredible songs. They were High in Love by Sister Wizard. Before that was Lila Lam with Let Me Go. And before that was a bit of a wonderful, more country kind of feeling song with Fool by Adrian Lenker. All three wonderful songs. Check them out if you enjoyed them. But we're here with the morning news. It's been a bit of an interesting week. Obviously, the Easter weekend, Good Friday. We've had quite a bit going on, and we've decided, you know, why not let you guys know what's been going on?
We'll do a little recap of anything you might have missed this week.
Exactly. Annabelle, did you want to start us off?
I do. So two people have been rescued after getting trapped for 10 hours at Jenolan Caves. A man and a woman were trapped for almost 10 hours in a labyrinth cave network, but have been freed following a labor laborious emergency operation overnight in the New South Wales Central Tablelands. The man and woman were among six people trekking through Chenolan Caves, the network of underground tunnels west of the Blue Mountains, about 7:20 p.m. on Saturday night when they became stuck in a tight and narrow spot and were actually separated from the rest of the trekking party. They were eventually rescued in the early hours of Easter Sunday and were treated at the scenes by paramedics. A paramedic described the rescue as extremely difficult and a delicate operation, but my favourite quote came from another rescuer who said it was very wriggly, apparently, which I like that. I like it being described as wriggly.
It's one of the ways to describe it. I will give it that. Moving on from there, in not so fun news as well, a man has been charged over an alleged daylight shooting that locked down Cairns. A man has been charged over the alleged daylight shooting that sparked an emergency lockdown in a suburb around Cairns. Police were called to Edge Hill at 1 p.m. on Thursday after witnesses reported seeing a man emerge from a white vehicle and shoot at the driver of a black Audi. A woman who was a passenger in the black Audi helped the injured man in the car before all three involved fled the scene. Residents were told not to leave their homes and a boundary was placed around the area as several officers scored the area. Police charged a 35-year-old man on Saturday with acts intended to maim, disfigure, or disable, and contravening an order about information necessary to access information stored electronically. So that means that he tried to make sure they couldn't get onto like a phone or, you know, a USB or a computer or something like that. He was trying to hide something there.
Definitely. Meanwhile, in Adelaide, a couple was rushed to hospital after the barbecue caught fire at an Adelaide Bunnings. So they were caught... words are hard. English is hard. So this couple was at Bunnings when a woman who was volunteering at the Bunnings, you know, sausage sizzle, collapsed. She kind of knocked over a gas thing. Words are very hard. She knocked over the gas and there was a blaze that came alight. The husband pulled his wife out of the way, but they have been sent to hospital. The wife does have severe burns and hopefully they will be all treated and they'll be all right. But it's not something you'd expect to happen at a sausage sizzle. No one goes into it thinking of...
It's a bit of a reminder to obviously slip, slop, slap. And there are two more that have been added in recent years that I do not know off the top of my head.
I don't know if that has to do with fire, though.
Well, it sounds like she might have collapsed due to heat.
Maybe. That is true.
It's at least
a
reason to maybe be aware of it, keep hydrated, keep cool, especially in places like that. And surely Bunnings has like given her a pass that gives her a free snag every time she's there or something like that, just to, you know, make up for it a little bit.
Free snags for life.
Yeah. Moving on from that, though, a 15-year-old boy has been arrested after a woman was allegedly attacked with a mallet during a home invasion in Perth's East last night. Police allege the teenager captured on a neighbour's security camera entered the property around 9:15 p.m. The 43-year-old victim was putting her son to bed when she heard a noise and found a stranger in a kitchen unplugging a laptop. The woman struggled against the intruder and was then dealt a hit to the head by the mallet. She was taken to the Royal Perth Hospital, where she received six staples and a wound in her head.
The hospital did not give her an extra wound, we should
say. It's one of those mornings, guys. I'm so sorry. Police have taken the teenager into custody while their inquiries continue. Make sure your doors are locked. Make sure you check all your locks and stuff before you go to bed, guys.
Definitely. Be safe. Meanwhile, in some more fun news, because it's been a bit of a heavy read so far, an 8-year-old boy has become the youngest player to beat a chess grandmaster. So at the tender age, I'm going to get very specific here, of 8 years, 6 months, and 11 days, Singaporean Ashraf Kashik has become the youngest player ever to defeat a grandmaster in a classical tournament of chess. He beat out the previous record holder by 4 months after defeating Poland's Jakub Stopa, who was 37 years old, in round 4 of the Burgdorfer Stadthaus Open in Switzerland. And I was reading about him. Apparently he got really into chess because his parents were worried about all the time he spent online, because they thought, you know, the young generation's going to do that. So they thought if he was going to be online, he could be on chess.com. And it's turned into a passion. So good for him.
Definitely. Look, as someone who's followed the drama that's happened in the chess world, and oh, I am going to totally talk about this on Friday now. It's such its own rabbit hole. It is so nice to see someone be able to beat a grandmaster without the grandmaster throwing a bit of a hissy fit and going, "No, you cheated!" So it's nice to see that. But moving on, we have Greek archaeologists who have used the Iliad as a map to find 10 ancient shipwrecks. So covering almost 5,000 years of history, a team of maritime archaeologists from Greece have located a series of shipwrecks off the coast of the island of Kassos, dating from as far back as 3000 BCE and through the classical period, 460 BCE, and also the Hellenistic age, which is 100 BC to 100 CE, and Roman times as well, all the way up to the Byzantine period, which is 800 to 900 CE. I know a lot of numbers there. And the medieval and Ottoman periods. So it covers a lot.
A huge
it
amount of
really
history.
It really does. Since 2019, the research team of the National Hellenic, that's some of these words you see written down, and it's very strange. Research Foundation, in collaboration with the Ministry of Culture, has utilised sources, testimonies, and references from Homer's Iliad until late modern times to locate the wrecks. The findings were recorded and documented with modern scientific methods, while sample recoveries of archaeological objects were carried out. The study, which offers a new new information and archaeological data, aspects of the history of Kassos and the rich cultural heritage of the Mediterranean. It's a huge discovery. I know I fumbled over the words a little bit. There's a lot of numbers, a lot of time frames there. It's a lot to really kind of take in. But there is some great stuff there. I would almost look into that if you're interested in that at all.
Definitely look into it. It's going to be amazing to see what's coming out of that because, it covers almost 5,000 years of history. That's a huge amount of time if you didn't know.
No, totally.
Yeah, it's going to be incredible. And I wanted to kind of round off today's news with not news from today, but this day in history to celebrate something very nice because I feel like it's been a bit of a sad news morning. It started off a bit sad. I just wanted to say that on this day, it was a weird day to choose, by the way. I will say April Fool's wouldn't have been the day I chose, but on April 1st of 2001, same-sex marriage was legalized in the Netherlands, which made it the first country in the world. So that's a nice anniversary.
That'd be cruel, April Fool's.
That's the thing. I feel like maybe I would have chose April 2nd. Just so that people didn't think I was, like, the government was being really mean. And being like, actually, jokes, we were kidding. But
yeah, a bit of a ha, gotcha. Yeah.
But it's a nice thing to celebrate. It is sad that that's only a decision that's, 23 years old. But
look, we take what we get in strides and we take what we get. We should have more, in theory. But we take what we have and we move with what we have.
Sorry, I was going to say, we're still seeing massive progress. Thailand is about to become the first country, I believe, in Southeast Asia to legalize same-sex marriage. So
we're still seeing
progress.
Thailand.
It's going great. Yeah, and hopefully soon every country will have it legalized and it won't be something that we even have to point out anymore. But yeah, that's a nice anniversary to celebrate.
Definitely. And I think I'll keep us, before we run off into our next song, on the LGBT train because there's a really special day for trans folk, both yesterday and today, depending on where you are in the world. Yesterday was, in Australia at least, National Trans Awareness Day. And today in the US is obviously the same day. If you have trans friends out there, let them know that you care and check in on them. But otherwise, you know, heck yeah. Moving on from that, though, we're going to move into another wonderful song. And it's At the Moon by Esko and Jamie. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin. Before we go into it, I will let you know, though, there are some scary, sweary words. So if that's something you're worried about, turn down the radio for about 3 minutes and 19 seconds and we'll join you just then. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin. You just heard an incredible song there. It was At the Moon by Esko and Jamie. Now, I should let you know, Jamie is spelt, obviously, J-A-I-M-E, but there is an exclamation point at the end, so make sure that you are listening to Jamie. Great song, but after that, we are going to move into another wonderful talking point. Annabelle's giggling at me there. Moving into it, we are talking about what's on in April. And what is on in April? Brand new month, pinch punch, first day of the month, no returns, guys. There's a fair bit going on, actually.
Well, first of all, I will say, on Monday, April 1st, from 8 to 10 a.m., you have Get Serial on Mondays, the show you're listening to right now. I would say, best way to start off any new month ever.
Hey, we're also on Friday.
We are also on Friday. We do have a season break coming up, so I will put that on the socials at one point so you don't get too sad when you turn on the air and you can't find us. But we are on, apart from that season break, every single Monday and Friday of the month. But there's also some other events going on in Melbourne, believe it or not. It's not
Definitely.
Just Get Serial. We have Supernova, which is running from the 6th to the 7th of April at the Melbourne Showgrounds. So whether you love Supernatural or Winnie the Pooh, Supernova has it all. This comic and gaming convention will be a feast for the senses, packed with cosplay competitions, gaming activities, celebrity panels, sketch-offs, and more. I know that Ivana Lynch, who played Luna Lovegood, will be there, as well as Jodie Whittaker, who is the first female Doctor Who. So it's going to be really a really interesting lineup.
Definitely
go check that out.
I did see as well that one of my favourite podcasts, and I think I've mentioned them on the show before, Trash Taste will be there as well if you're into learning about how very Caucasian people go living in Japan and the trials and tribulations they suffer over there. Moving on from that, though, if you're interested, the NGV Triennial is in Melbourne. Now, that's happening from now until the 7th of April. So the NGV, numbers and letters are hard this morning, guys. Triennial is wrapping up this month after a successful four-month showcase in Melbourne. View over 100 extraordinary projects for free inside the National Gallery of Victoria, one of, obviously, the city's most treasured art spaces. Across all four levels of the NGV, got it right that time, the public is invited to delve into the depths of works of 120 incredible artists, designers, and collectives from around the world. Go check it out. Live through them. Wonderful art. Go support artists all over the world.
Definitely. And the Eid Festival is being celebrated from the 13th to the 14th of April at Queen Victoria Market. So Eid al-Fitr is the biggest celebration in the Islamic calendar and marks the end of Ramadan, the month of fasting. Eid will be celebrated at Queen Victoria Market on the 13th and 14th of April this year. So go and immerse yourself in the diverse cultures ranging from Africa, the Middle East, Turkey, Bosnia and Herzegovina, Southeast Asia, and the subcontinent. It's going to be a very, very fun day out, I'd say. Lots of dancing as well.
Definitely check that one out. And if you've ever looked at your dog or maybe your cat and you've gone, you're the best.
True.
Well, you could find out if they are actually the best. The Pet Show is happening on the 13th and 14th of April. They are partnering with the RSPCA in Victoria, of course. The Pet Show is all about positive pet parenting, sharing education, good entertainment, and products for all pets from scales to tails and everything in between. Go figure it out. Go learn about how you can be the best parent for your pets and what you can do to give your little fella the best life they can get.
Definitely. Also on the 13th, everything is on the 13th for the 14th.
Busy day.
Yeah, I don't know why. It must just be a good time. A good time to go out and about. You've got Ultra Australia, which is happening at the Flemington Racecourse. So beginning on the beaches of Miami, this outdoor electronic music festival has made its way over to Melbourne in 2018 and is now back again to celebrate some of the most iconic DJs, producers, and live acts from home and abroad. Headlining acts this year include Steve Aoki, Zedd, and Armin van Buuren, but there's a lot of other great artists performing as well. Definitely go check that one out.
If nothing else, go check out Steve Aoki for the way he throws a cake at people.
He has got one good arm on him.
It is an incredible toss. He would do incredibly in, baseball for that.
I just want to know how he trains to be, because he is very specific in his targeting. He can just...
Oh, yeah.
He's so good at it.
If he spots you from, down halfway through the venue, he will toss a cake perfectly. No change in direction, no wind resistance or anything like that, and manage to smack you clean in the face with just a full cake. It is incredible. Moving on from that, though, in something that was also incredible for its time, the Titanic, the Artifact exhibition is running from now until the 21st of April. One of the most famous tragedies in modern history, obviously the Titanic, and its ill-fated maiden voyage continues to enthrall. Educate and break hearts more than 110 years since she sank to the bottom of the ocean. Have a look. Go learn about this because you get to see over 200 real artifacts from the Titanic and the wreck site, and you'll get to learn about particular compelling human stories and the visitors that were on the actual ship when it went down. Go check it out. It'd be a fun one to learn about.
Meanwhile, we also have the Melbourne International Comedy Festival running until the 21st of April. I'm sure you've all seen the posters around Melbourne, but there are so many incredible acts that you can go and see this year, from big names including Aaron Chen, Adrian Bliss, Celia Pacola, Joel Creasy and Lizzie Hu. But I also say there are some other great acts, including the Pilot Comedy Festival.
Definitely go check them
Pilot
out.
Pilot Comedy Show. We had them on the show the other day. They are incredible. And we're even interviewing, a little spoiler, some other comedians who'll be performing at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival later on today. So stay tuned to see who we're talking to and find out which shows are a must-see this year in the lineup.
I would argue they're all must-see.
They are all must-see, but especially anyone who features on Get Serial, because we have only the best.
But one last thing before we run off into our next song. If you're in Ballarat, up in the country, the Ballarat Marathon is on at the end of the month from the 27th and the 28th. Go check that one out. It'll be a lot of fun. Obviously up in Ballarat. Go check it out. It is the inaugural Ballarat Marathon. It'll be a lot of fun. And it's a two-day running festival designed to celebrate the city's rich sporting and cultural history, as well as encourage the community to come together and run. There are plenty of races to choose from. If you're not necessarily the best runner, that's okay. We understand that. I get that. Trust me. You can do just the 5K race, but you can also move up to different ones, to more difficult ones. And it's going to be a wonderful run through the historic city of Ballarat. Go enjoy it. If you haven't been up to Ballarat, go to Ballarat. It's a lovely town. It's a lovely place. It's not like a country town as much as you did think. It's just like, it's little Melbourne.
Little Melbourne.
It's little Melbourne. Something that isn't little, though, is how much we love our next song. And here is No Falter by Tay Shi. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin. They were Pon Pon, or Pon Pon, I think it is, by Krungbin. Krungbin, we've actually played on the show before, and I've really enjoyed them. Bit of a relaxed sound. I think you should really check out more of their stuff. It's a great sound, great album lineup, great discography. Go check them out. Before that was No Falter by Tay Shi. And I'm going to spell these two for you because they're a bit of a tricky one to kind of Google if you're not aware. So Krungbin is spelled Khrungbin. And Tay Shi is spelled Teishi. Check them out. They are wonderful. But Annabelle, we have another little interesting talking point.
I was going to say, so speaking of things that are wonderful, April Fool's Day, what are your thoughts on it?
I'm always split. I think it's a fun little ha-ha sometimes. But I also don't like misinformation for an entire day if, like me, you've forgotten that April Fool's exists quite a lot. Or you have the experience that I'm sure a lot of Australians have where it's, oh no, I forgot the Americans get it tomorrow. I thought it was done.
Well, that's the thing. I feel like we were talking about this off air. April Fools were pretty good at identifying what's a joke. It's just like afterwards. Everything that comes out, you kind of can't trust anything you hear for like the next week.
Also, any serious news that releases on April 1st is always hit with that like, where's the joke? Where's the funny bit?
I'm saying, well, so here's something that's not a joke at all. No one really knows the true origins of April Fools.
Huh.
So I thought I would kind of walk us through the different theories people have from where April Fools came from. Because no one actually has a specific reference point, but there's some interesting theories. So some of the clues that we have as to the, you know, the possible origins of April Fool's Day are that, you know, April Fool's customs date back to at least Renaissance Europe. We know that. But we think the tradition originated long before then. Even in 1760, there were actually speculations as to the origins of the holiday, I will say. So we've been clueless for a while. So even in 1760, this was a line in the Poor Robin's Almanac reading, "The 1st of April, some do say, is set apart for All Fool's Day. But why the people call it so, nor I nor they themselves do know." So it's been a mystery for a long time. But one of the possible origins is the ancient Roman festival of Hilaria, where at the end of March, people would come together to commemorate the resurrection of the god Attis. It was a celebration of renewal in which revelers would dress up in disguises and imitate others. Another possible, I will just say my theory is it's a lot of a combination of these different festivals coming together is my guess. I think it's a mix of cultures. But another possible, you know, option is the medieval celebration, I love this name, of the Feast of the Fools, mock bishop, that's just us eating breakfast every morning, that was where a mock bishop or pope was elected and church customs were parodied, which could have inspired the day. Another option, and French people might know a bit more about this, I did go to a French school when I was little, and I do remember paper fishes being stuck on people's backs, so I can verify this is true. But they think it came from the concept of gullible fish, which sounds very weird. But in the 16th century, France switched from the Julian calendar to the Gregorian calendar, which meant with the Julian calendar, it began in March with the spring equinox and it was celebrated until April 1st. But when they switched to the Gregorian calendar, the new year would now begin on January 1st instead. Obviously, news travelled slowly back then, so not everyone knew about this change or was willing to kind of adopt the new calendar system.
Of course.
So those who continued to celebrate the new year in the spring were often ridiculed and made the butt of jokes. So some pranks included having a paper fish placed on a person's back, as they were called poisson d'avril, or April fish. So one of the first known references to this term, poisson d'avril, is found in a 1508 poem written by Éloi d'Amerval. The phrase itself doesn't necessarily mean there wasn't a holiday on April 1st, but the idea of April fish, if like me you're like, what does fish have anything to do with celebrating the new year in spring?
Oh, you know, just a fish.
Just fish. But the idea is that fish are more plentiful to catch in the spring, and therefore easier to catch. So in other words, an April fish is someone who's a bit gullible because they're more easily to kind of catch in someone's net than
that
a fish
makes
in
sense.
Any other time.
I get that.
There is, you can get to the logic of it. So it could have come from gullible fish. And in 1561, an early clear-cut reference to April Fool's Day actually appeared in a Flemish poem written by Edouard de Den. In the poem, a nobleman sends his servant out on a series of wild errands. The servant eventually realizes that these are fool's errands because the date is April 1st. So if your boss tells you to do anything at work today, they're just fool's errands. You actually legally you can take the day off. Actually, legally you can. It is a public holiday.
Yeah.
Well, for some people. Not for me, actually.
Please check. Don't lose your job because we said funny ha-has.
Get that public holiday pay, I will say. But, you know, for some people, it is a day off. But April Fool's obviously has had a lot of weird beginnings, from gullible fish to, you know, the equinox calendar to many other things, but it has evolved in recent times with the use of modern media. So newspapers, radios, TV stations and websites have all participated in the tradition, making April Fool's, and April 2nd if you're in Australia and you're going to see the fallout from the US later, a day where everyone truly needs to be on their guard. And one of the most famous pranks, we're actually going to get into the rest of the pranks later, but just as a little taster, because this is one of my favourite pranks, is when the BBC aired a segment in 1957 all about Swiss harvesters harvesting spaghetti off trees and bushes, and all about the process of how spaghetti is grown. And this is my favourite video in the world. You should definitely check it out. They have black and white footage of, you know, harvesters picking up the cooked spaghetti off trees, and people actually did write into the BBC asking how they could grow their own spaghetti. So we'll touch a bit more on it later, but, you know, be safe. I think it's where the name Spaghetti Tree comes from, if you know that restaurant. It is my favourite prank in the entire universe. No. Maybe we'll share a photo of it on our story. I love it. People were more gullible back then. And Bianca is enjoying it too.
I love it. It's bad. It gives me the same vibe as both like a Monty Python skit. And I wish I remembered her name. But there is a comedian documentary voice person who has a very, you know, I believe she's British. And she has a very, almost like, what is it? We would be standing in the most dangerous place in the world. The name has escaped
know,
me.
Claude.
We will find it during the break and we will let you know when we get back from our next song, which is K-I-S-S. If you put that together, that makes Kiss by Smoking. You're listening to Smoke King by Smoke King, as I said. This song does have some scary, sweary words, so if you are unsure about it, turn down the radio for about maybe 2.5 minutes, and join us just after that for a wonderful Stevie Wonder song. It's actually about his daughter. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin. Bad, bad hats was something that was not bad at all. That was a TPA, and before that was Stevie Wonder. Everyone loves Stevie, with what I think might be his best song. Hot take, that was obviously Isn't She Lovely, which is about his daughter. Beautiful song. It is just one of my favourites. And before that was Kiss by Smoke King. Two separate words, Smoke and King. And if you look at your time, it's about 9:01, so we are halfway through our show. We do actually have something very exciting coming up. We have our interviewees just out in the green room chatting to Annabelle at the moment, so keep up to date and keep excited for that. But if you like what you're hearing, you can keep up to date with everything Get Serial on the best Instagram page on the web, Get Serial Sin on Instagram. You can check us out on TikTok, Get Serial Sin on TikTok, where we will be posting from time to time and eventually, and who knows, maybe we will, maybe we won't. You'll have to keep up to date with it though. But if you missed any previous episodes, or maybe you want to check out a previous interview, I understand, pretty bloody good. Go check them out at the ever so wonderful Spotify, at the ever so wonderful Omni FM, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts, where you can see all of our great work and all of our previous stuff. Check it out. Tell us what you think. But we are aware that sometimes things do get difficult, and you or someone you may know may need someone to talk to. So, if you are any of those people, we do have some helplines available. You can find Beyond Blue at 1-300-224-636, Kids Helpline at 1800-55-1800, or QLife Helpline at 1800-184-527. Please do check them out if you need them. There is never any shame whatsoever in checking them out. But with that, we're going to dive into our next wonderful songs. We have Shot Put by Still Woozy, and after that is Boy by King Gnu. And Shot Put by Still Woozy, I just let you know, does have some scary, sweary words. So do be aware of that. If that's not something you're into, turn down the radio for about 3 minutes and we'll join you after that. But you're listening to Get Serial on Sin. You just heard two incredible songs. I can't count this morning. Two incredible songs. They were Boy by King Gnu, a wonderful J-rock band. Go check them out. I really enjoy their stuff. And before that was Shot Put by Still Woozy, another fantastic band. But we've got some fantastic guests in at the moment, Annabelle. Could you introduce them for me?
I could. I feel like doing that this morning. So I'm really excited to be joined in studio by two incredible creatives who are here to tell us all about the Gen Z Comedy Talent-O-Rama, which is playing now until the 8th of April as part of the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. With backgrounds in filmmaking, drama and comedy, these talented creators are ready to prove that Gen Z has what it takes. Please welcome Louis Prandolini and Hugo Prestegna of Gen Z Comedy Talent-O-Rama.
It's really a mouthful, hello.
It is a long name, but yeah. I love that. So first of all, can you just introduce yourselves to everyone? You know, tell us a little bit about yourselves.
Okay, well, hello, I'm Louis, and pleasure to be here. I've been doing stand-up comedy since I was 15, I think, through the lovely Class Clowns initiatives with the Comedy Festival, and later the Up Next comedy festival kind of adjacent workshops, and kind of through that I just found that I really like doing shows and try to make as many as I can. So this is comedy show for the festival number 3, and it's been like a really fun time working on comedy for the last couple of years.
And I'm Hugo. I'm more in like the filmmaking or like narrative, I guess, arena of places. I do, like, I've done some plays and that sort of thing, mostly with Louis. And whenever Louis has some sort of crazy, crazy show he wants to put on, I sometimes help with that.
Yeah. So you've been working together for quite a while. So,
yeah.
That's great. That's lovely. Well, most important question. We are a breakfast show. Mm. What is your favorite breakfast in the morning for both of you? This is make or break,
I was going to say, they have this at, like, your Easy Marts and stuff. They've got this Reese's cereal. That's mine. It's so sugary that I don't acknowledge it's, like, a breakfast cereal. I kind of just have it as a snack. But I also think it's a cereal, so I'm counting that.
I will say you're the first person I've ever heard who actually shops at Easy Mart. So I'm very excited to they exist.
Actually, actively.
And, yeah. Actively and actually.
And the cereal's like $15. I don't know why I buy it.
Yeah. Cereal's good. We love cereal here. You know, we are a bit biased on good cereal. What about you, Hugo? What's your go-to breakfast?
Yeah, I was going to sort of, I guess the budget version of that is just like a Fruit Loop. A Nesquik maybe, sort of like from Coles. Not quite $15, but you know, that does me good, to be honest. Yeah.
Oh my God.
You know, they're both solid breakfasts, I will say. I like them both. You've done good today. So, first of all, today is April 1st. And like, you're comedians. I feel like I've ruined the reveal to you. No, don't worry. I promise I am too tired to prank.
But, the mic is never on in the first place.
This is a fake interview.
Yeah. Not live.
As people who work in the comedy space, what is the best April Fool's prank you've ever done or had done on you?
Oh my God.
Putting you really on the spot here.
Yeah. I don't think I've really been pranked that much on the top of my memory. They can't get me that easy.
Always on your feet. Like.
Well, I've got a prank. Not that I did on April 1st. I actually did it. I did it on a Hottest 100 day. And my dad's favorite song of the year one year was Lil Mosey's. A song by Lil Mosey. I don't remember which song, but which quite funny because my dad's taste in music is not that typically. And so just as they're announcing number one, I just play that song from my phone and he lets out like a huge scream from the kitchen. And then the real number one played and he was shattered.
That's a good prank, though, I feel like. Yeah. So on Monday, maybe we'll play that song in your dad's honour.
I might steal that one. Yeah.
It's Get Cereal's hottest song of the year now.
Yeah.
Whichever song it was, a little bit. That's a good one.
Yeah, I think the best ones are just like slight, like emotional manipulation.
Just a bit evil.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. So hopefully, maybe it is a bit evil. What can we expect from your show this year? Maybe there's some evilness tuned in.
That's a good question, because I feel like it switches up every show. So it's always just like a very strange mix of like different acts after each other. The way that it basically works is it is a talent show, like your school talent shows. We all know that. And I think even like the conception of this was just like, we were just thinking, I think we did one in like 2022 on like a trip once with our friends. And I remember being like, oh, this is funny. Let's keep doing these. But like as a comedy show. And so I've got all these performer and comedian friends and they've all got their own little acts. And normally it's like, you know, your magics or whatever. But I think by this time around, it's eventually just become like strange characters will appear on stage or acts that aren't really talents at all. Like, it's really removed from the talent at this point and just kind of been a fun group of friends just like hanging around in a live space. So yeah,
perfect. Just a great showcase. Then you said that you actually started it in 2022, and I know it actually played at the Melbourne Comedy Festival that year as well, right?
It didn't. It was with I had done a show at the Comedy Festival in 2022. Wasn't the talent show. We did the first Talentorama at the lovely MC Showroom in Paran, if you know it. It's a lovely venue. We did that mid-year, kind of right off my last comedy festival show, kind of keeping that up.
But, how has this show evolved then since the first one?
I think one of the biggest reasons that we have evolved it is through our tech, because the first time we did it, we were so stressed out and we had like an hour tech run and the poor tech guy did not know what was happening and we were like, how do these lighting cues and like a million sound cues that we had to play. So it's all been a bit condensed and simplified now. I think the show elements of it are a lot more calmed down to where it is like I said, just like people hanging around. It feels very like a group of people just like enjoying and even like the audience participation we had. There's no power dynamic between like performer and audience. It's just kind of people like will get involved when they can. And I feel like that's like been the biggest change is kind of seeing that become a lot more casual and a lot more relaxed.
Yeah. There's no tech guy crying in the wings this time
no.
around.
No, we actually went to the venue and they were like, we had this realization that we don't need We don't need a tech, so we're going techless for this show. We're using a PowerPoint completely, and we've got all these sound cues and visual cues, and it's working weirdly well. So
it's the opposite of what people expect with Gen Z. We're actually like getting off technology and going back to PowerPoint.
Yeah, that's great. Taking us all back to primary school when we're doing our little presentations. One of the shows, one of the acts we do is we have one of the performers who's also not really a comedian, he's just a buddy of mine, but he'll come up on stage at the start of the show and we'll say, what PowerPoint should he do? And people will suggest a topic, and then by the end of the show, he performs like a PowerPoint based on that.
That's so good. It's bringing me back to any assignment I've had to do last minute. That is so much fun. That's great. So who else is performing actually? Can you give us kind of a sneak peek of the lineup of the show?
So I think we've basically drawn on a lot of comedians that are in that kind of like younger generation. Yeah. Usually I know them through things like Class Clowns and Up Next, which I was talking about earlier. MCing on Tuesday will be myself and Ethan Gallagher. So he's a buddy of mine who I've been able to do some shows with for a million years at this point. So I love that guy. We've got lovely Marley Hawk. We've got the Silly Siblings. I don't know if you have an awareness of those guys, but they're very, very funny. Rerose Roro, Patty Fawcett. Am I forgetting anyone else? I think that might be it.
Almost everyone. There's a few crazy characters as well.
I was saying as well, like, yeah, all the other non-comedians we have are involved and they're very funny, but for purposes of non-spoiler, I feel like I can't announce like their acts or kind of what they're involved with because they are just characters coming on stage.
You just have to go to the show to find out the full lineup. Sure.
It'll just be I'll mention something in my stand-up and they're like, that's funny, and then that character that I talk about will appear and it's like, oh, why are they doing a talent?
It's great. It's like magic.
Yeah, exactly.
And you mentioned that there's more audience participation. It's kind of less of a barrier between the comedians and the audience. Have you had much experience with heckling? Has heckling been an issue yet, or
who's
cross?
At this show, no. I think the dynamic of the show was pretty fine. Like, we did get like audiences members sort of chiming in, but like a lot of the time that was like either in response or like in a way that I think was like when I was on stage, it was like it kind of helped the act anyway.
Yeah, got weirdly wholesome heckles too. Like a lot of like, I love you, Louis. So I was like, okay, thank you.
That's pretty good as heckling gets. It's just like a nice little boost of confidence.
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
I've been talking to Louis and Hugo from the Gen Z Talent Comedy over at... Was that the right order of words?
No,
the Gen Z Comedy Talent-O-Rama. Yes. I got it there. Really excited to keep talking about it, but we are just going to get to some songs, and we'll have you back in the studio in just a minute. Next up is Aphrodite Rock by Holiday Sidewinder, part of Sin's Sweet 16 playlist. Enjoy. That was Aphrodite Rock by Holiday Sidewinder. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin, and we are joined back in studio by Louis and Hugo of the Gen Z Comedy Talent-O-Rama. I said it correctly this time. Beautiful. So I wanted to think, I had to really think about that one all of the break. I was just practicing it in my head, but really excited to get back into it. I wanted to kind of ask, like, how did you get started in the comedy / performing arts space?
Well, I feel like, for me, it was very much comedy, stand-up comedy adjacent. Through the, I mentioned previously the Class Clowns program. It's something the Comedy Festival provides every year. And it's like a competition with all these, I think you have to be 14 to 18. And I did mine, when I was 15 in 2019. So way back when. And I didn't actually like, I think I got past the regionals and then I got to state and then I didn't get any further. But I just kind of got like enough of like a fix of comedy where I was just kind of like, please, can I do more? And then the people at the Comedy Festival were like, yeah, come on down. And then they kind of gave me a couple more gigs. And then I think lockdown must have happened for a bit and I went a bit insane and wrote a lot of comedy. And then I kind of came out of it being like, I want to do some more. And then kind of kept going on from that through like a lot of those Comedy Festival stuff.
Yeah, that's great. It's really nice to see how many comedians have come out of like Class Clowns.
Yeah.
And that's really like... help kind of give a boost to the next generation of comedians.
It really is.
What about you, Hugo? I know you've got a bit of a different background.
Yeah. So I think my first, like, I guess proper step into just like the production space was like when we did, we wrote a play and like when we were in year 11.
That was also a lockdown thing as well.
Oh yeah, no, we wrote that through the lockdown, right.
Yeah. And we performed it, I think, at the start of year 12. Or you didn't do, yeah, at the start of year 12. Yeah,
2022? No.
2021.
2021. Wow. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah. We wrote a comedy play. Yeah. Which was very fun.
Yeah.
That we didn't know, like, how to put on a show at all as well.
Oh, it was so, like, one of the least organized I've ever been. And we were, like, writing for a year. So we had, like, plenty of time to write. But then, like, I think the week before was one of the most stressful weeks of my life. And, like, oh, my God. Thank you to the MC show. Yeah, they also hosted that one. And we were just like literal children, like trying to like organize this show. And it was just like, it was pretty chaotic. But
it was really fun.
It all came together.
Yeah, in the end.
Yeah, it was just us with like our drama class. And we were like, let's make our show. And we didn't know how to. So yeah.
That's what's kind of brought you to today. You're putting on another show.
Yeah. I would say the very like silly like style of humor is still there.
It's still there.
Then definitely, like, a lot of the kind of, I don't know, bits and, like, I think extended bits or, like, callbacks that we have in our shows is, like, one of, like, a staple of, like, our kind of shows, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
Where we'll, like, kind of set up things at the start and then that kind of comes to fruition at the end there. Yeah.
That's great. And you actually just opened this year the Gen Z Comedy Talent-O-Rama. I just love saying the full name.
Yeah.
And you had opening night on Friday. What was the reception like?
It was really fun. I really had a lot of, like, yeah, a lot of fun doing it. It was very, very, like, I think, yeah, I said this, it was very casual. It was in, like, our venue is in the Dove Club, which is a very, like, I mean, it was a club. Like, the first time we went there was clubbing, so going to see the venue was kind of crazy. But it was, you get that sense of those vibes. Like, it is very, like, comfortable, and they've got a great sound system. So that was the other thing. It was just, like, a really cool... I don't know how to describe it, but it was very, like, yeah, casual and fun, I would say.
Yeah, I think the best part was just, like, the audience was, like, it's quite like a, I don't know, we lean into, like, the Gen Z-edness of the humor, and, like, it's, like, very us, and it was, like, the perfect space for, like, I don't know, it, like, the perfect space for the audience, like, to, like, I don't know, be able to, like, come with us on that. Like, I don't know. They were very receptive and, like...
Yeah.
I was just, like, glad it worked because some of the, like, bits were a bit out there and that sort of thing. And, like, it was just, like, pretty...
People really got around it. That's my favorite thing is that you could kind of throw anything out there and people would be like, oh, yeah, this is amazing. And it's, like, cool.
It's so nice that you're working kind of together with the audience.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And you obviously it's a Gen Z... I'll just say, it's a Gen Z show.
Yeah, so it is.
What do you think sets Gen Z comedians and performers apart from comedians of a different generation?
That's a very good question. I think the main thing that I use as the basis of Gen Z humor is, like, PowerPoints, weirdly enough. I know so many people that do PowerPoint nights just socially, and it's really shows because all the performers we got upstage were like, yeah, I know how to make a funny PowerPoint. And they're just, like, flicking through. And it's funny, too, because... I think as well with humor styles, sometimes it's just funnier when it doesn't really make that much sense. But my, like, parents came on the opening night and they saw one of the performers' PowerPoints and they were like, but the joke was that it was stupid. Like, yeah, that's kind of, yeah.
It's very
or, like, anti-humor, like, kind of thing. Like, very ironic, I feel like.
I feel like that's a good staple of Gen Z.
Yeah, definitely.
Doesn't really make sense, but I feel like we're all here for it.
Yeah.
That's perfect. And you've got two other shows
yes,
to go?
Yes, correct, yeah.
Perfect. I'll actually just run through the dates just so that if any listeners are interested, they know where to check it out. It'll be running on Tuesday the 2nd of April and Monday the 8th of April at the Dove Club.
Mm-hmm.
Still going on at the Dove Club, as you've just mentioned. And you can buy tickets online, is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. We technically have two websites that you can get them from. We've got a Try Booking link and a Comedy Festival Red 61 link.
You've got range. Yeah. There you go. You've got all the options in the entire world. Do you see the show running next year?
I hope so. Mm-hmm. It's definitely something that we've done in the past and we've gone, hey, this is a format that works. So, yeah, we'll, the future we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, it's exciting. There's lots to come. And if listeners want to kind of keep tuned in, see what's happening, where can we find you online?
Oh, we should have set up Instagram for the thing. Yeah. But I'll just plug my own socials. I'm at Louis Prando. I post a bunch of like reels and clips from previous shows that we've had and all sorts of dates and promos for the show. So, yeah.
That's where you find the stuff. I mean, I might post a story here and there on hugo.posse, but maybe like a little reel or something. Yeah. I'll have to now. But I think Louis Prando is the place to go.
Louis Prando is the main point of contact.
Yeah.
And do you have any other projects you'd like to kind of hype up while we've got you here?
I will be doing a small 5-minute set at Up Next Comedy on the... I'm going to get the date wrong. I think it might be the 5th. No, it's the... it's on... What day is Thursday? It's the 4th.
Thursday is the... What day is
it? It's the 4th.
The 4th.
I believe it's okay. The 4th. It's a very confident 4th. I'll be doing it on the 4th. That's obviously something that I've done for a while now, and it's lovely to be doing Up Next Comedy again. It will be me and a bunch of other up-and-coming comedians, the best young comedians around for the Comedy Festival.
So, hey, yeah. Hugo, anything for you?
No, just this, really.
Just vibing.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a pretty free spirit.
Well, it's been lovely to have you both on. Thank you so much for joining us today on Get Serial. So I've just written for the dates one more time. If anyone, you know, missed out the first time, it's running Tuesday the 2nd of April, Monday the 8th of April at the Dove Club. Definitely be sure to go check out the Gen Z Comedy Talent-O-Rama with Louis, Hugo, and an amazing lineup of, I'd say, a star-studded crew of comedians and performers. And, yeah, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Cheers.
Thank you for joining us. And, look, these guys have got some content for you if you're looking in the right place. This group has also got some content for you. Here is Content For You by TWRP. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin.
That was This Heart Attack by Faker. Before that was Content For You by TWRP, also known as Tupperware Remix Party. And we just had the incredible Hugo and Louis from the Gen Z Comedy Talent-O-Rama with us in the studio. And it was just a great time. It was so much fun to have them. Unfortunately, all good things must come to an end. So if you did miss the interview with them, that will be up on our socials. Give us about maybe a week or two and you'll be able to find the full interview available on Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts. Basically, wherever you get your podcasts, you'll find that one. But talking of other iconic things, I did want to talk about some of my favourite April Fool's Day pranks. So we did kind of hint to it at the beginning of the show. We were talking about the Swiss spaghetti harvest. The Swiss spaghetti harvest is, I would just say it is the most iconic April Fool's prank in my mind. So in 1957, the BBC pulled off the gag to end all gags. 8 million people tuned in to watch Panorama's 3-minute feature on the Swiss spaghetti harvest. The Swiss spaghetti harvest talked about how, after an unseasonably warm winter brought an end to the dreadful spaghetti weevil pest control issue, the region of Ticino near the Italian border was said to have yielded an exceptionally heavy spaghetti crop. The footage showed people picking strands of spaghetti off trees, I will say I believe it was cooked spaghetti, not raw, and bushes, before tucking into their homegrown feast. The prank occurred long before pasta became a staple in the average British diet, making the audience kind of ripe for the picking. So when viewers phoned in to find out how they could purchase their own spaghetti trees, the BBC told them to place a sprig of spaghetti in a tin of tomato sauce and hope for the best. And I love this one. It is, I mean, we're coming up to its, like, 75th birthday. It is just such an iconic prank, and it really shows how far we've kind of gone with media literacy. But in that time, obviously, we were less used to having TV. We were less used to kind of special effects and gags, and we just kind of believed more what we saw on television. And it's amazing to think that it was just believed by a huge amount of people just because the BBC was airing it. And talking about the BBC, in 1980, the BBC World Service announced that London's most famous landmark, the Big Ben, was getting a facelift. So the broadcaster told listeners that to help tourists tell the time, the Big Ben clock tower would be going digital and would henceforth be known as Digital Dave. The new and improved monument wouldn't just tell the time, it would also issue a 5-minute news bulletin every night. On top of that, iconic bongs would be replaced with beeps. While some listeners did clock in, but that this is an April Fool's Fool's prank, many others rang in to express their outrage, and a BBC spokesperson commented that surprisingly few people thought it was funny. And look, in 1996, so jumping forward a few decades, the Taco Liberty Bell occurred. So in 1996, Taco Bell took out a full-page advertisement in 7 major newspapers and announced that they had purchased the Liberty Bell to reduce the country, that being the US's, debt, and renamed it the Taco Liberty Bell. This one also provoked some outrage by people who didn't really put two and two together, but I do love the idea that, you know, from now on, historic monuments, they're just Taco Bell owned. Taco Liberty Bell TM. And look, in terms of other April Fools that I do love, we had the Smell-O-Vision again with the BBC. The BBC is just booked and busy. In 1965, the BBC purported to conduct a trial of a new technology allowing the transmission of smell over the airwaves to all viewers. And many viewers actually contacted the BBC to report the trial's success. And they actually did kind of they harkened back to this April Fool's Day prank early in the 2000s when they said that they would now bringing Smell-O-Vision through the internet, which people also did fall for. In 1969, the public broadcaster NTS in the Netherlands announced that inspectors with remote scanners would be able to drive on the streets to detect people who hadn't paid for their TV tax, and that the only way to prevent detection was to wrap the TV in aluminium foil. The next day, all supermarkets were sold out of aluminium foil, and a surge of TV taxes were being paid. So I guess maybe the government's got to get on that. If you want to pay your taxes, just tell people that we've got people who can just tell, unless you have aluminium foil. But I do love that one because it does show how gullible people are, that people actually did believe it and go the extra mile. And just a little last ones to round us up. The National Geographic announced via Twitter in 2016 that they would no longer be publishing photographs of naked animals, which did also provoke some controversy from people who didn't get the joke and thought that the National Geographic had gone quote-unquote woke. But those are just some really good pranks we've had over the years. I'm excited to see what the fallout is this year. It's a little too early to kind of talk about what's happened yet, but it'll be exciting. Maybe we'll touch on it on Friday. And to end us off, I'll tell you of something that's not actually an April Fool's joke, but when Gmail was first announced on April 1st, 2004, people did think it was a prank because of the unbelievable 1 gigabyte of storage Gmail offered. People thought it was too good to be true. But those are just a few of my favorite April Fool's pranks. We'll actually be getting into another one of my favorite things. It's Your Decision by Alice in Chains, part of our Sweet 16 playlist. Actually, I've lied, sorry. Alice in Chains is later. It's going to be Godzilla by With Confidence. It does have some scary, sweary curse words in it, just so you're aware. But enjoy that and we'll see you soon. Thank you.
Your Decision by Alice in Chains, a band that I never thought I would ever play on Get Serial. If you don't know, Alice in Chains is like one of the cornerstones of grunge and metal from the last maybe 30 years. So didn't think we'd get them on the show. Before that was Cool Cucumber by Ace Swayze and The Ghosts. It's a bit spooky. And before that was Godzilla by With Confidence. And 3 great songs. I will say, Godzilla With Confidence, I found that years ago. Huge fan of that one. But if you're looking at your time, you're going to go, wow, it's 10:01. Guys, you need to wrap up. And yeah, we do. So thank you so, so much for listening. Thank you to our wonderful interview guests, Hugo and Louis, for joining us for what was a very, very fun interview. And thank you for listening.
Definitely. Thank you all. Happy April Fools. Don't get pranked. Don't get tricked. The only thing I'd say is that it is now a legal requirement to follow Get Serial on Sin. That is the truth. That's the only truth you need to know for today. Go check us out on social media, TikTok and Instagram. Check us out on our podcast realms. We're on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, OmniFM, anywhere good podcasts are found.
Definitely. And you know, one last funny prank you should do. Check out GetSerial.com/get involved and get involved, you know, just as a prank.
It's a great prank.
Sin, just as a joke. You know, hop on radio, do some shows, just as a joke. Meet some wonderful people.
Exactly. Do it for the bit.
Exactly. Do it for the bit. But something we're not going to do for the bit is move into a song that's all April Fool's based in my mind.
It's so good.
Here is Lord Huron, one of our favourites, with Fool for Love.
And I'm a fool for him. Enjoy.
You're listening to Get Serial on Sin.